Well, hello, everybody. Hi. Well, I can remember sitting in things like this and with other young people, and I can remember enjoying times like this, and many young people with purpose of heart sitting there singing. Back there, you can't hear. It was too short. Down too low. Try lifting it up. Can you hear me back there now? Okay. Okay, talk like this. Okay. But anyways, the subject I have on my heart tonight is, you know, we had in the readings, we've had much about the food that came down from heaven. We've had about the manna, the bread. But I was going to talk a little bit tonight. There's a verse that was quoted in Job 23 and about verse 12. And we could look at that verse. Some verses I may just quote because I may want to go faster. But this is Job 23:12. It was quoted at the last or the middle of the verse. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Now, I'm not going to talk about the higher truths that we were hearing in the meeting. I'm going to talk about the part that says necessary food. I'm going to go into a few natural things. If you guys back there quit hearing me again, I get away from this thing, start going like this. But anyways, I'm going to talk about natural things. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, well, I can turn there too. And verse 46 says, howbeit that which was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. Many times natural things come before spiritual things. You are born naturally, and then you're born spiritually when you come to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. But anyways, I want to talk about some things that are natural and serious subjects. I want to talk about 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and there's a verse in there that talks about virgins, young people who have virgins, and I want to talk about, we have that standard amongst the saints of God, that young people, before they marry, they should be virgins, that we have that standard, but I'm going to talk about raising the standard higher. I'm going to talk about being inside, emotionally, a virgin. Keeping yourself for that right one. And I'm going to talk about not only how do you find, my children asked me, how do you find the right one? I said, you never find the right one unless you be the right one first. You must be the right one. Well, I'm going to turn to 1 John. First John chapter 3. And verse 3. Well, I could read a little verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope purifieth himself even as he is pure. Well, you can the coming of the Lord Jesus and being with him, that can purify us. I'm going to get into quoting some verses instead of turning to them. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, well, maybe I'll turn there too, but because I can't always quote them just right. But Deuteronomy chapter 11, there is a verse I want to go to. Or a couple verses. It talks about it's the end of verse 21. It talks about a godly family and the days of heaven upon earth. I want to know how many of you young people have a vision of having a godly family someday. If the Lord would leave us here the next few years and you would desire to get married and have a godly family, how many of you would desire to do that? Is that a desire in your life? Now I'm going to tell you that the enemy has used natural things. We came into the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and what they called the sexual revolution. And the kids went to school of my generation. I was talking to a man the other night and he said, you know, we came from a large assembly, or there was a large assembly was talking about, he said, 80% of the children went out. Now, just think about if 80% of you would not, you may come to know the Lord, but you were hindered in your life and you didn't go on for the Lord. Wouldn't that be a tragedy? Wouldn't that be a tragedy? Just look around. Now, why would we want to let the enemy use these things? Why not use them for the Lord? If you have a hope for having a godly family someday, why not use that for the Lord? You know, you could use going home to be with Him and being like Him and in His presence to purify yourself. How about having a godly family and using that to purify yourself? Now, you want to, eventually, if you want to get married, you want to get married to the right one. How about being the right one? Right now, I would say the emphasis is more important on not who the right one will be than you being the right one. You will never know who that right person is unless you are that right person. You got to be that right person. You got to mature as a Christian. I talked to a young man lately. He's a professing Christian, and he was having trouble with sin in his life. And I said to him, hey, you got to get into scripture memorization. You're having trouble. You know, I'm concerned about him getting restored in his soul. And he says, I'm not like you. He says, the scripture doesn't trip my trigger. He says, I'm not into the Word of God. You know why? Sin. The Spirit of God is not at liberty to take the things of God and to show them unto him. He can only occupy him with sin. How is it in the case with you? How is it in the case with you? Now, I want to talk a little bit. You've heard about the young ladies read these. They're called romance novels. A lot of times, they're in the world, and young men out there don't know anything about it. I know you don't read them, but anyway, I never did. But there's romance in Scripture. There's Song of Solomon. There's a story of Isaac and Rebecca, and there's the story of King David and Michael. And the strong desire, like what King David wanted Michael, and he was required to go out and kill 100 Philistines. And that was his going to give for his dowry for his wife. So what did he do? Boy, he was so motivated, he went out and, you know, as a soldier, he killed 200. You know, these things are strong desires in your life. I remember being a young person. And these things are strong desires in your life. And I'm going to tell you to be careful. Now, I can't cut them all out, but I'm going to tell you to be careful even about so-called Christian romance books. Because they can awaken things. If you don't know what I'm talking about, that's great. But they can awaken things in a young lady that ought not to be awakened. It can awaken things of what is called romantic love. And what I am talking about, that your emotions of romantic love can go out to a fictitious character. A fictitious character. And you need to be careful about romantic, you know, holding your emotions back. Now, I'm talking about being a virgin emotionally. Now, there are things to be really careful about in this. Now, I told you, you men, or young men, don't do that. Well, maybe some of you do, but I don't think you do. You don't read those things. But you don't have to read those things. You can play the own video in your mind. This is serious, too. You know what you think about. You know what I mean. Now, here's where the ladies may not know what I mean. But the young men do. You know what you think about. You know if your emotions of romantic love go out to this lady. She doesn't know it, but you know it. See, in Scripture, in Matthew 5, and I believe it's verse 28, it says, if a man look upon a woman with lust in his heart, he has committed adultery with her already. So it tells you something about a man, that he's attracted to a woman through his eyes. And then, if you want to go into 1 Corinthians chapter 7, you'll read that it's not good for a man to touch a woman. Then you'll learn that as sight affects a man, touch affects a woman. So they're different. So I'm going to say, if you're a young man, be careful about touching a lady, young lady. You like young ladies to dress properly. Well, you be careful about touching a young lady. There are things that are proper and how you respect one another. I could talk to you about the devices of the enemy, and I don't want you to be ignorant concerning his devices. We had a little bit about Ephesians 6. They mentioned a little bit. I mean, remember Chuck Hendricks. And there's spiritual warfare. We could talk a little bit about that. And I believe the enemy has used these things. Now, I'm saying we can use them for the Lord. Let's not let the enemy use them. Let's use these things to purify ourselves. Now, I'm going to talk about some thoughts here, but I want to go on. My 16th anniversary is coming up in July 17th. And I want to ask you a question. Would it be right if I let my emotions of love to go out to other ladies? No, it wouldn't. You'd say you shouldn't do that. But how about you young men? Are you going to... You say, I should keep myself for my wife, and I shouldn't let that happen. How about you young men? You say, but that's hard to do. Can I do that? Well, how about me? Do I have to do that? Yes, I do. Every young man that I ever talked to who has got married and failed in his thought life first. And they started when they were a young person. I'm going to divide some things for you. Mr. Darby wrote a pamphlet about thoughts unbidden and unwanted. Every thought you have does not come from you. And you can read that account of that in Matthew chapter 16. You'll read about the Lord Jesus saying, whom do men say that I am? And Peter answers, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then you hear, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So he gets, Peter, you didn't get that thought. God gave that to you. And then, in the same chapter, the Lord Jesus says, I'm going to go to the cross. And Peter begins to rebuke the Lord. And you know what? The Lord rebukes Peter. And says, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but of man. And now, he's telling him, these thoughts come from the devil. And I'm going to tell you something. You may not know where a thought comes from, but you know if you meditate on it or not. You may not know why your attention comes to something, but you know what your meditation stays on. This is something that young men have a problem with, the video that is in their mind. They need to keep themselves pure. And why? If you're going to get married someday, you want to keep yourself pure for that one you're going to marry. It's for that one. And you know, you can even start praying for that one right now. You can start praying for the one you would marry. And if you don't keep your mind pure and you get involved with wrong thoughts, what's going to happen? Your soul's going to be undermined. You're going to be undermined in your soul. That's what happens. You know, if you sin, you're a servant of sin in Romans chapter 6. Now, I would have Christian liberty in all of you. I would have you walking in liberty and in purity. If you are this right person, if you put the emphasis on being the right person, you will find the right one if the Lord has you to be married. Because in 1 Corinthians 7, we know that all do not get married. But as I look around in your faces, I see many people, young people with desires. But don't let the enemy get the advantage. I know these things are strong and your desires are strong. But use them for the Lord. Do you think about in Genesis when you have Adam and Eve? And there is no Eve right now. But Adam gets to name all the animals. You know, there's a male monkey and a female monkey. He says, hey, there's no female for me. And he names a bull, cattle, you know, a bull and a cow. There's a male, female, no female for me. And God allows him to feel lonely. You get that in Scripture, that you could see him starting to feel lonely. And there's a strong desire. God creates that. If you have that desire, someday you say, I would like that I could have, as days of heaven upon earth, to have a godly family. You must raise the standard. The warfare, if you read in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 10, is in the mind. Our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds, and it is every thought that exalts itself against the obedience of Christ. We need to bring every thought into captivity. You cannot afford to be a lazy Christian. There is no time you can afford to relax. In this world, there is a spiritual warfare going on, and your mind is oftentimes the battleground. You can never, especially when you're weak or tired or going to bed, you need to have Scripture before you. Do you know what I'm talking about? I think you do. But, you know, as I talk to the young men, I think you know what I'm talking about. And I'm going to tell you, if you're going to godly court, don't do things. If you're going to date, are you going to involve the emotions of a young lady? She's supposed to be saving her emotions for that right one. I don't believe in dating around. Why? You want to keep your emotions for that right one. Not for this one and that one. You want to keep yourself pure for the right one. To have a godly family. To produce a godly seed, as it would say in Malachi. You want to have a godly seed. That's godly offspring, children. You have been given everything that pertains to life and godliness. And as I look around at every one of you, and I know that these desires come, and these desires are strong, and they should be, they're natural. Use them for the Lord. Don't let the enemy get the advantage. And if you have failed and you get in the practice of failing, what does it say in 1 John chapter 9? The blood of Jesus Christ. If I can, well, I better read it. See, I get into quoting and then I don't. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body. And if you have already, you need to judge it. And if you have, it comes down to sowing and reaping. If you have sown to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. And there's bad habits and things you may have formed. But God, by the grace of God, you can confess sin and you can turn from it, and the Lord can deliver you. And you can use these things for God, even if you have failed in your thought life and in habits. God can turn those things around, and you can use them for blessing. The Lord can do that for you. Be careful how you treat one another. Be careful, young ladies, how you treat a young man. You know, if I was to tell you about my wife and I like my wife. And before I was married, and I didn't tell anybody. But for some reason, everybody knew. It was my wife and I spoke without saying a word. That was that smile, that look that I had in my eye. And that look she had. I knew she liked me too. I knew. We didn't even have to say it. Didn't have to. There was just that look in her eye. And, you know, that's when parents, that's what you have parents for. You know, girls, if you ever had noticed a guy looking at you, you know, and he's got that, you know, he said, and you go up to dad and said, you say, "Dad, there's this young man, he's been looking at me." That's time for a father to get involved. And young man, you got to be brave. You got to be brave. And this is the time when a father comes over and taps you on the shoulder and says, "My daughter has noticed something." You wouldn't do that? Hey, God has given parents to protect you. And there may be things that your parents will say. They will restrain you. They will say, "Hey, things are going too fast. You don't want to get your emotions of love." Even if you were headed towards marriage, you felt this is the one that the Lord had guided you to, your parents may say, "Don't spend too much time together." "Why not? I love this person. We're going to get married." Even if the Lord had showed you that already, your parents may tell you, you've got to restrain your emotions. They may say, "Don't hold hands." You say, "What?" Well, your parents know things about these things. They should. And you know what? If your parents don't know things, because all parents didn't, my father didn't, you may have somebody in the meeting come up to you and say, "What you are doing is dangerous." And you say, "What? How do they know? How do they?" And they're going to say, these powers of romantic love can get so strong, they can cause you to fail. I have known many young people who were going to the altar to get married, failed. Because what did they do? They started holding hands. And they started getting with more and more touch in things. And it just, the powers got real strong. If you head towards marriage, restrain. Even if you knew that this was the right one, even if the Lord had showed you that, restrain your emotions. They need to be restrained. It's all before the Lord Jesus. And to live before Him. You'll be, I was just thinking of a couple. And you know what happened? They didn't fall deep into sin or anything. But things went too far a few times. And you know that family, they got married. And they have been undermined. The wife has not trusted the husband. And it was all because of that time. Men, be responsible. Don't... You can't. I was like head over heels. When I was around my wife, I didn't even know if my feet were touching the ground. I didn't. It was like there was times like that. And you know, I had to restrain myself. You know, I even went for a walk one day and I said, you know, we were at a wedding. And you know how those things are. You know, the wedding, and it was my sister's wedding. She was there. I was there. And I had to go for a talk with myself. I had to say, "Slow down, my foolish heart." The Lord hadn't even given me peace to marry her yet, and the emotions were running wild. I had to seek the Lord for guidance. That's when a father needs to be involved. That's when I need to go to my father and mother. You guys got to keep a close relationship with your parents. And if you don't, sometimes it's not possible. There are fathers in the assembly that will care for you. God will raise up fathers in the assembly to care for you. But anyways, that was my burden for tonight. I don't want you to be undermined. I don't want you to be servants to sin. I don't want the enemy to get the advantage in this thing that is natural and wonderful and beautiful. You know how neat it is to see a young couple get married? A couple that has saved themselves for each other. They didn't let their emotions run after this one and that one, and they kept themselves emotionally pure as well as physically pure. How wonderful that is. It is a beautiful thing. And you should have right desires and have a desire to have a godly home. But you need to judge yourselves. You need to control yourselves. Is it possible? Is it really possible? Yes, it is. If it wasn't possible to live a godly life in this world, God would have taken us all home. You can judge your thought life. You can, okay, maturity. Before I go on any further, and I got to quit here soon. But maturity. Are you maturing as a Christian? Do you pray? Do you read your Bible? Do you know what answered prayer is? Do you pray for yourself? I mean, you know, when you were little, your mom and dad came and prayed with you. But there's a time when you must pray on your own. Do you have spiritual exercise? Are you getting your questions answered? Why this? Whether you're raised in the truth or you're brought to the truth, every one of you must buy the truth. Every one of you. And if you're not being that type of Christian, you're not the right person. I would not suggest you to be married to anybody until you start buying the truth. You must. And how long does it... You must be a mature Christian. You say, hey, I'm not 40 years old. I think Ronnie is over there, about 40. But you say, hey, I'm not 40 years old. You say, hey, to be a mature Christian, that'd take a long time. You'd be surprised how short a time it takes. You must be in love with the Savior. And you must look for a person who is in love with the Savior. The motivations of your heart. If you are motivated from that type of angle, and you are that type of person. Everybody knows who, you know somebody who's in love with the Savior. It shows on their face. It shows in their life. Is that you? Are you the right one? Is that you? Are you maturing as a Christian? Is that you? Hey, if it's not you, I can't promise you the right one. But if you have these desires, use that for the Lord to be the right one. And if you walk with the Lord and talk with the Lord and know the Lord in that way, the Lord will guide you to the right one. And there will be blessing. The other side it is, I have set before you blessing and cursing this day. You know what the cursing is. You have seen it in others' lives. But I want to set before you blessing and the pathway of blessing.